Hello and welcome to Talking Therapies, a podcast made together with Psychologies Magazine and the UK Council for Psychotherapy, or UKCP for short. I'm Susie Walker and I'm the Editor-in-Chief at Psychologies. Each month on Talking Therapies, we'll be talking to a UKCP therapist about a range of topics. In this episode, we'll be discussing sex addiction. Can you become addicted to sex? And if so, how can you spot the signs and find support?
I think relative to sex addiction and porn addiction with women, it is quite a shameful experience. Yes, it's shameful for men, but perhaps it's especially difficult for women to present and say, you know, I have this problem with sleeping with multiple partners, or I have this problem with, you know, viewing porn online for a significant period of time.
That was psychotherapist Rodney Collins. Rodney specializes in dealing with addiction, runs Focused Life on Harley Street, and also hosts his own podcast called the Modern Triad Podcast. Shortly, Rodney will be talking to Martin Polikoff, the chair of UKCP, to demystify the debate around sex addiction. But first, here come some comments about sex addiction from people we spoke to on the street.
It can become like a drug to people to have sex because they want to fulfill their addictions.
Just the general want to have sex, which can probably lead to frustration, I guess, in a relationship.
Maybe it's not possible to look at the opposite sex or the same sex, depending on their preference, in a non-sexual manner.
I suppose society would predispose more men to become sex addicted because I think men get away generally with being able to have more sex without the stigma. But I don't think there would be any difference between a male or female brain to be sex addicted.
Some sex and relationship experts disagree that it's possible for people to become addicted to sex, while others believe people can become addicted to the enjoyable feeling or high experience during sex. So let's find out more about sex addiction.
Rodney, there seems to be some dispute whether sex addiction is a real thing or it's a sort of fantasy invented by therapists.
Well, I can tell you I've worked in various aspects of addiction for a number of years now, and what porn and sex addicts present with, it really tallies up with what I see with, you know, people who have problems with cocaine and heroin and smoking and the rest. You know, porn and sex is used in the same way that substances are used by those who suffer from substance disorders. I think because we're talking about sex, it's something that is somewhat controversial. There are a lot of people that feel that, you know, this is about morality. This is about men and women who don't want to take responsibility for their behavior. Mm-hmm. I think that's rather unfortunate. The people that I see who come in for treatment, these are people who are on their last legs. These are people whose relationships are hanging on by a string, and they're there to do everything that they can to stop behavior that they don't wish to occur.
How would you notice if you were a sex addict? How would you notice that?
I think this is something that each and every person has to address for themselves. But typically what happens is there's a preoccupation with sex or the fantasy of sex. That's another thing to keep in mind. It's not just about going out and actually doing the behavior too much. Porn and sex addicts have a problem with becoming preoccupied with finding imagery, thinking about imagery. They can be at their desks during the day, and instead of focusing on their work, they're thinking about, I can't wait until I get home, because then I can look at my favorite site through the night for the next 4 or 5 hours. So the preoccupation is just as important as the action.
Are women or men more likely to become addicted to sex?
Well, the statistics show, and my own experience shows, that really it's men who tend to be who tend to present for treatment more.
Right.
So I would say out of my practice, it's probably something like 90% men. If you read the literature, roughly 25 to 30% of the people who present for treatment are women, and the rest being men.
But you find, you in your practice, it's mostly men?
It is mostly men,
right.
And I think there are a lot of questions about why that is, mm-hmm. you know, why so few women present for treatment. Mm-hmm. When I talk to other colleagues, they have a very similar experience. I think relative to sex addiction and porn addiction with women, it is quite a shameful experience. Yes, it's shameful for men, but perhaps it's especially difficult for women to present and say, you know, I have this problem with sleeping with multiple partners, or I have this problem with, you know, viewing porn online for a significant period of time.
Okay. So if somebody discovers or suspects they're a sex addict, what should they do?
I think that's a very good question. It's important for us to think about, really, is it a problem or not? you might be able to talk to those close to you who have had a similar problem if you're aware of anyone. Seeing a therapist, though, is a good way to sort of gauge things. From time to time in my practice, there are people that appear and they say to me things like, yeah, I'm really distressed, I have a problem with porn addiction. And when you go through their history, what you learn is that they viewed porn maybe two or three times in the past month. Perhaps their partner caught them viewing porn, became very upset about it, and that was the catalyst for their coming in for treatment. So the issue isn't so much addiction, the issue is a relational problem with their partner, and it should be addressed, I think, from that perspective.
Can you have a functional relationship with someone who's a sex addict?
Functional. I think that's a very interesting word and a key word.
Right.
The issue about addiction, all addictions, is that individuals tend to turn inward towards themselves. They tend to isolate, separate themselves from partners, from friends, from the workplace often, in many instances. So it is possible to have a functional relationship, one with very little emotion, one where there are, you know, defined responsibilities. Perhaps the porn or sex addict convinces him or herself that, okay, as long as I go out and I make a living and I support the family in that way, well, the rest of it, that belongs to my partner in terms of responsibility, or it's divided up amongst the other members of the family in some way. Whereas at the beginning of the relationship, perhaps that was not so. Perhaps things were shared a bit more evenly. And this is one of the things that we know about addiction. It's a progressive condition. So as it gets worse, the porn or sex addict turns inward on him or herself more and more.
Is this really a creature or a child of the online movement with adult materials?
I think the interesting thing about the advent of online porn and sex is that it really made it easier to get the sort of volume component of addiction internalized into the individual. So as we all know, if you have a problem with alcohol, the more alcohol you drink, the more likely it is to become a problem for you, and the more difficult it is going to become for you over time. In the past, when it came to sex, one had to do a lot more in order to encounter sexual partners. These days, it's a matter of going online, visiting favorite websites. You have various devices from which you can do that, your mobile phone, your laptop, your tablet as well. So there's very easy access to many different sexual partners, as well as sexual images when it comes to pornography. So I think the answer to your question is yes.
And if you find yourself in this situation, what support is there out there?
Yeah, it's very difficult. You know, in terms of the National Health Service, I know that there are some centers that specialize in providing sex addiction treatment. Here in London, I think one of the major centers is the Tavistock, as an example. Mm-hmm. But in terms of a broad-based response in terms of addiction services, I think it's still lacking quite a bit. So there are an awful lot of people who could use treatment who aren't getting it relative to the National Health Service. But there are people who are looking towards some of the 12-step organizations to get help at no cost, of course. So these are organizations that follow the model of Alcoholics Anonymous. And there are sort of three major organizations in London who follow that suit. And there are an awful lot of people who do benefit from those organizations. What's great about them is that, you know, they're so ubiquitous. There are so many groups running at various points in time. Mm-hmm. So people are able, when they're feeling quite vulnerable and in a difficult place, to find a meeting somewhere in London to go to if they're feeling quite low.
And does that work with psychotherapy?
That can work with psychotherapy. So in my case, I work with individuals and I also run groups of individuals who deal with porn and sex addiction. Some of those people, especially in the early stages, if their problem is quite serious and quite severe, they'll come to me, let's say, once a week for individual therapy. They might come to the group once a week. And in between visiting either the group or the individual sessions, they will attend these 12-step groups for additional support.
What about couples therapy for sex addiction? Do you do that?
I do work with couples as well. Typically, the partner enters the treatment for sex addiction in one of two ways. Mm-hmm. It's not uncommon for the partner to show up with the porn or sex addict in the very first session. Quite often, the partner is quite upset, very angry. The discovery probably, you know, within the last week or so. And so part of my job is to help to educate the partner about what's going on with the addict, to educate the partner about what it's going to take, and you know, the amount of time and the amount of resources that will have to be placed into improving the situation. But also, to be frank, to try to start some basic level of communication, because quite often there's been an abrupt break because of the trauma experienced by the partner. And I do want to say that trauma is the right word there. We have learned that partners go through something akin to PTSD upon discovery quite often. You know, they have quite violent mood swings, very difficult times sleeping quite often. So it is important in many instances for the partner to receive support as well.
What are the possible outcomes of that, the couples therapy?
Yes.
In your experience?
In my experience, sure. You know, I wish I could sit here and say to you that, you know, what happens is that you go through therapy and you come out rosy on the other end. But in actuality, what some people discover is that the relationship as it stood no longer suits them after they've been in therapy for a while. Mm. So the relationship either has to change, or in some cases, one or both parties decide, well, it's time to move on somewhat. Mm. But what's very important is to really note that sex addiction is a systemic problem. So it's not just about treating the individual. If you treat only the individual, mm-hmm. and that individual returns to a family relationship structure or perhaps a work mm-hmm. environment, which hasn't changed in any way, well, the chances of a successful outcome for that individual mm. and for that relationship, I think, are diminished greatly.
When you say systemic, is it just between the couple, that system, or extends outside of that?
It's the addict and every important relationship that touches the addict.
So every relationship is tainted or moved by this?
Yes. And yeah. You know, exactly which relationships are relevant will vary from person to person.
Sure.
But for example, there are some people who have a very difficult time at work. They don't know how to confront their boss or confront their colleagues, and they turn to porn to relieve the stress and the anxiety right. around that. So one of the things that we need to do is to work with that addict to find new ways to express what it is that's going on in the workplace, so that we can hopefully shift the relationships in a way that they're healthier and less of a trigger for them over time.
So what you're saying there is porn is not necessarily just about sex, it's also about anxiety.
Absolutely. I think the way that I view porn, and it's because my training and my background is through addiction, is I look at porn and sex the same way that others might look at alcohol or cocaine or gambling in terms of the impact. What porn and sex does is it helps to neutralize the emotional distress, the internal conflict that the porn and sex addict is feeling. It makes it easier to get through the day. But the problem with addiction, as I mentioned before, is that it's progressive. Mm-hmm. So although it may work effectively in the beginning, over time it crowds out the rest of your life.
So are you saying that the important relationship in an addict's life is the porn or the alcohol rather than the other relationships?
It has turned out to be that way over time. That's something that we call salience in addiction. So over time, the focus of the addict becomes receiving that charge, that rush that they get from the sexual behavior or the porn. So the other aspects of life diminish in importance. You know, responsibilities to family in terms of showing up for birthday dinners, showing up to work on time, secondary concerns. What's most important, though, is to be able to find the porn imagery or to find the sexual partners that fulfill the need.
Okay. And within a relationship, is it possible for the addict to remake the relationship, to back off his addiction and put himself or herself back into the relationship?
Absolutely, it is possible. That's really what we strive to do. Mm. So typically what happens in terms of my practice is that someone will come in for individual sessions in the beginning for a certain period of time. Once they've learned the basics of sex addiction, and also they have some awareness of their own internal process, we place them into a group with other people suffering from porn and sex addiction. And those groups are wonderful because the relationships of the various individuals really inform each and every member. You don't have to go through every single step of relationship difficulty on your own. You can look at the experiences of others and learn from what they've gone through. In addition to that, most of the people go into couples therapy separately with their own partners. And it's very important when you go into that couples therapy that the couples therapists have training in sex and porn addiction. Because otherwise there are lots of, you know, things that could go wrong with people who are very well-meaning, of course. But some of the things that you might do in a traditional couples therapy would not be appropriate within therapy for porn and sex addiction.
So if I was looking for somebody to do work with myself and my wife, something, I would have to look for a couples therapist who also had that training.
That is what I would recommend.
Okay,
yes.
Great.
And I would ask them, you know, what is your training in porn and sex addiction? How long have you been working in it?
And the time you've been doing this, do you see this getting more prevalent or dying off?
No, it's absolutely getting more prevalent. Mm. One of the things that's most distressing is that a lot of the people that contact me are people who are very young, and they don't necessarily have the resources for treatment.
Right.
I do the best I can in terms of seeing people and signposting them to available services. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I do think that collectively we need to come up with a better solution. Thank you.